Hey, everybody, welcome to today's Platinum Roundtable. We're doing the USP Creator Part 2, How to Develop Competition-Crushing Unique Selling Propositions. And last time we spoke, we went through the entire 27-page manual pretty quickly. It was more of an overview on developing unique selling propositions for your business. And we got a couple of really good suggestions and ideas that came out of that conversation. And so what we're doing today is part two. And part two, we're going to focus on, starting with page 16, it's part two, developing your USP. The first half just kind of explains what it is and gives a lot of examples. And so for the next, for this entire session, we're going to focus on developing unique selling propositions. On the, again, this starts on page 16, the manual. And I have we got some background noise there. Okay. We've got Steve D'Angelo on the line today. Steve, thanks for coming on the call today.
You're welcome. Hi, everybody.
And what we're going to start with is Steve came up with a pretty good idea, and actually I think a great idea, on the last call for a unique selling proposition for working with contractors. Steve, why don't you talk about that? What is the unique selling? First, tell us what the unique selling proposition is, and let's just kind of work through how you got the idea.
Okay, well, it had to do with some compelling reason for contractors and builders to choose us as their flooring company as opposed to all the other capable suitors. And so the USP was a guarantee to start on time and complete the project on time per their schedule. Didn't get any farther than that. To say, you know, what would be the ramifications if we didn't, but that was generally the statement.
What, flesh it out a little more. You had some suggestions on kind of protecting yourself, building in some buffers and things like that. Talk about that a little bit.
Sorry, Jim, you kind of broke up in the middle of that question.
Talk about the you talked about having some buffers built into that. Kind of lay out your thought process and how you would present this to the contractors. Last time you were kind of thinking out loud because Steve,
yeah.
For everyone that wasn't on the call, Steve developed this really on the fly. We were having the USP discussion and he came up with it. And so you were kind of fleshing it out and kind of put together a timeline of how that guarantee would work.
Yeah, so, well, if, you know, if I could kind of take you back to what the genesis of it would be, we all are chasing after, you know, the builders and the contractors, and since they represent repeat clients, so, you know, are all the other flooring contractors chasing after them. And in general, I mean, you know, look, there's all different levels of contractors out there, but if you took, you know, the top half of the contractors out there, they're all pretty capable, and you probably have plenty of competitors that are, you know, pretty capable of executing a job. And the marketplace, you know, recognizes that, you know, there's others that are pretty capable as well. You know, we're always working hard as we can to try to change the conversation from one of who's going to offer the lowest cost to why you ought to choose me. And so it seems to me that, you know, for contractors that you haven't done business with, those that you don't have an established track record with, and you just are kind of, you know, on the outs trying to get somebody else's market share, you need some sort of compelling reason over and above, you know, trust me, we're really great guys, we'll give you really good quality. It kind of goes back to the same message, you know, that is kind of tired with the retail side of the business. But these clients have different the contractors and builders have a different set of criteria that they use to make their purchase decision. And it seemed to me that if you kind of laid out the things that are compelling reasons to them for making a purchase decision, one of the really important things is to keep the project on schedule. These guys go through the roof when a contractor negatively affects their schedule. And there's a lot of, you know, kind of important ramifications. You know, there's a bunch of dominoes waiting behind you, other trades that have to come in. And if you're not on time, they're all going to be late also. There's money aspects, timing of the whole project. Some contractors are under serious financial penalty if, in fact, they don't complete a project on time. And so it just seemed like maybe that was an area that would be valuable to the builders and they would, you know, maybe respond to that. That's kind of how I got to this thought that what if we offered a guarantee to complete the project, you know, on time per their schedule? Might that be a compelling reason for them to choose us, you know, rather than, you know, somebody else, or reduce it to simply just the price quote comparison?
Yeah, and I like that. And so if everybody will, you know, if you're on page 16 of the USP manual, basically.
Sorry. Which manual is that?
This is the one that went out with the email yesterday. It's the USP Creator. If you don't have it, that's all right. We'll you'll be getting it is on the members only site.
It's not the 60-day rapid launch program, is it?
No. It's the it went out in yesterday's announcement email as an attachment.
I see it.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're on page 16. What essentially Steve did is you described your target market first, which was contractors.
Right.
And then next you identified, step two, what their fears are. And you just, what were some of those fears that you just said? Dominoes stacking up? Just list two or three of the things that keeps them worried.
Well, so they've got commitments to their customer. Timing commitments. They've got timing commitments to the rest of the contractors that are stacked up behind you. There could be financial commitments either with whoever's financing the project, the custom home, the bank could have some financial. They may have made some financial commitments to a bank that's financing the project. If it's a commercial contract, frequently these will have financial penalties for the general contractor if they don't complete the project on time. A good example is a school, for example. So somebody writes a contract with a commercial contractor to finish a renovation, but it has to be done before school starts in, you know, August. And if not, then they get fined, you know, $100,000 a day, whatever the contract dictates. And that can really create some pretty serious pressure for the general contractor. And it seems to me that if you could provide some guarantee that you'd finish your portion of things in time, that would probably give you the nod, even if you're a little bit more expensive than somebody else.
Okay. So that has to do with, you know, identify your prospects' fears. The next one, which is on page 17, is step three, would be identify performance gaps in your industry. Steve, do you find that subcontractors in your area cause that problem to happen for contractors a lot? Is that a fairly commonplace problem?
It is, and everybody would know I was full of it if I didn't tell you that we have been late before. We've been late for a number of reasons, you know, whether it be material or I was on a job, I couldn't get it finished in time to get to the next one, or You know, I've had a guy wig out in the middle of a, you know, a job. I got to find different crews to complete things. These are the normal things that would happen. And I think that all contractors, you know, they wake up in the morning knowing that this stuff can happen. And sometimes they give the business to the people that have, you know, been successful with them in the past because of that, because there's so much room for, you know, delays.
Okay. How about step four, commonplace fraud that occurs in this particular instance? It doesn't sound like that applies. Am I correct in that, or is there?
Sorry, Jim. Can you kind of define what you mean by that, commonplace fraud?
In other words, one of the things that are asked as part of the USP creator is, what's some fraud that happens? For example, in floor dealers, a bait and switch, poor workmanship, not honoring the warranties. Every industry typically has something that happens within it that is fraudulent and that you can then guarantee against that. In this case, would you say that people being late or maybe just not showing up at all and doing the work, is that something that's common? It doesn't sound like that's something that's going to apply to what we're talking about in this particular USP.
Well, it does happen. There are, I guess there's a couple of things that occur there. Still in our industry, sometimes people will, you know, choose to purchase materials separately and then, you know, hire some guy out of a truck to do the installation of product. There's different situations that might merit that happens, but it's never on a large commercial project. But from time to time, some builders will say, hey, listen, I've been having Joe Bob do installs for me. He's a fine guy and he does good quality work. I trust him. And but he's just kind of a guy out of a truck. So the net effect of that is, listen, he's still just a guy out of a truck. So, you know, he has things happen in his life, and it's quite, you know, possible. It does happen that Joe Bob doesn't show up, doesn't perform the contract as he's supposed to. And for sure, I think Joe Bob's commitment to warranty kinds of things after the fact is pretty suspect.
Okay. Okay. So even though you might not bring up fraud in the USP, if you have some sort of a performance warranty, it kind of covers that anyway then. That's going to tend to relieve that fear. Okay, and then the next one is step five. What annoys prospects shopping for services in your industry? And you just basically defined it, late. You're talking specifically in that case being late, blowing deadlines. And then step
six. Yeah, I think there's also the quality issue, Jim. So I find that on the commercial project, quality is not, you know, all that important. Time is the really important thing.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's a little kind of, you know, travesty, but the quality that gets accepted on the commercial projects is, you know, really marginal.
Okay.
But in custom homes, that's not the case at all. In custom homes, the builder, his reputation is at stake with every single tile you stick. And so I think that that's a real issue for the builder, the custom home builder. He's out there selling, you know, a super great quality product, and they do have, you know, a keen interest in that.
Okay. All right, and then real quick, moving on to step six, which is identify ways your business stands out from competitors or could stand out. And that's what you're talking about, having that guarantee is something. What did you say, that instead of saying to the contractor, oh yeah, we've got really, really good service, and the next guy says we got really, really, really good service, you're able to actually do something that concretely different?
Well, I mean, that's what our whole zero-resistance selling environment is all about, isn't it? I mean, we give them proof. I got references and, you know, testimonials and a warranty, a guarantee.
Okay.
Now, I'm a brick and mortar building. I understand some members are not brick and mortar buildings, but it's easier when you are, because you can just tell people, you know, here we are, right here on Main Street, and you know, we're going to stand behind whatever we promise. In the case of builders, you know, they need something. They need something that tells them that, you know, you're credible. What you're promising is credible. And to give them a guarantee, you'd have to put your money where your mouth is. You know, we guarantee that we're going to finish your project on time, or we'll, you know, credit you back $100 a day.
All right. Okay. I won't go through the remaining steps. There's actually 14 total steps. And what everyone should notice here on this is, you'll see that a lot of the steps overlap, that, you know, identifying their fears, performance gaps, identifying commonplace fraud, what annoys prospects shopping for services in your industry. When you answer those questions, you may wind up repeating yourself, and that's okay, because the whole point of this exercise is to get you to look at this from different angles. Really dig into your business and find those hooks, those unique selling propositions that nobody else is going to have. Now, before we got started with the call, Steve and I were had a short discussion about, you know, implementing this. And Steve, we were in a second, we'll open it up to the club to get some feedback on that. But what were your original ideas for the payoff? If you were late, you know, we guarantee that we'll get your job done on time, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, the only thing that's going to interest the contractor is, you know, some sort of financial penalty. And so, you know, all I've been able to think of is, you know, if we're late, we'll, you know, credit you some dollar amount, you know, on a daily basis.
Okay. All right. Before we explore that further, does anybody else have any suggestions for what you can do to give this guarantee teeth? You know, actually, let's wait just a second. Before we get into that, let's put together what we want to do. One of the last steps of the USP creator is brainstorm and condense. And what you do is you go through all the benefits that you've written down from the different steps. You know, when you're looking for identifying your prospects' fears, when you write down the answers to identify performance gaps in your industry, identify commonplace fraud, and all those things, you want to take those phrases and condense them down into a phrase that can become your final unique selling proposition. So, for example, part of the triple guarantee is you'll love your new floors or we'll replace them free. Very self-explanatory, fairly short, easily understandable. How can we word Steve's guarantee? You want to go first, Steve?
Okay. We'll complete your project on time, or we'll pay you.
We'll complete your project on time, or we'll pay you.
With a little asterisk, of course. It reflects, you know, we'll pay you $100 a day penalty or whatever.
Well, what I like about that is it also is a curiosity builder, or we'll pay you. we'll complete your project on time, or we'll pay you. That's pretty good. Now, what I would, if I was going to develop this further, Steve, I'm not going to do this on the call right now, but what I do is when I get pretty close on a headline like that or a USP, I'll sit down and force myself to come up with 10, 15, 20 other, I'll just reword it. And sometimes I wind up going with the first one I came up with, but sometimes I'll find a pithier, harder-hitting way to say it. But I think that's pretty good. We'll complete your project on time, or we'll pay you.
Thank you. If you do that, Jim. This is Mark in Canada, by the way.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good. If you do that, speaking from an installer's perspective, I find a lot of times the salespeople will promise the installer, they'll just guess. They'll say, it'll take 3 days. But it's really a four-day job or a five-day job. And then it depends on how many people you have working on the job as well. So it's always better to under-promise and over-deliver.
Well, Steve had addressed that. Talk about that, Steve. The buffer. Why don't you address that?
Well, you'd have to put some sort of buffer in. You know, there's all kinds of unforeseen circumstances every time you wake up in the morning. So I'm thinking, if you thought it was a 3-day job, you'd probably commit to 5 days. And you know, maybe in contract, says 5 or 6 or something like that. You know, my experience has been with a lot of these projects is they just lay out the progression of the whole project. You know, maybe they use Microsoft Project or something like that to map it out, and they ask you how long is it going to take you to do your part of this, and you tell them, and then they just put other things in place after that. They don't really say, hey, the last flooring contractor, you know, could do, you know, 2,000 square feet in 2 days less than that. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
They just accept whatever you tell them, and then bam, that's the number in the schedule.
So you're talking about doing like Scotty does on the Starship Enterprise. Overestimate your time to fix the warp engines by a factor of 2. That way you'll always be known as a Miracle-Worka.
I guess so.
Lessons we learned from Star Trek. Everything I needed to know in life I learned from Star Trek.
Amen.
But that's essentially what you're saying. And that, what was it, Mark, that just said under promise, over deliver? By doing that, and you're consistently coming in 1 and 2 days ahead of schedule, they're going to really like you. But you have those emergencies that cost you a couple of days. Well, now you're on time. Now, Steve was brutal. Do you mind if I tell them the brutally honest confession you made to me before the call, Steve?
Sure. Yeah. There's no secret.
Steve hasn't implemented this yet. Now, we only did this 3 weeks ago, I think, was when we began talking about this. And the reason he hasn't is because he's a little worried, as anybody would be. He doesn't want to be giving away $50 a day or $100 a day for being late. So what could we do to calm Steve's fears so he'll go out and do this? What kind of things? I think the buffer is a great idea. Is there any – and I do have some thoughts, but I want to hold off on it until we hear from some other people. Anybody got any thoughts on that, ways of looking at this or things you could put in place that would help ease that? Come on now, guys. Any suggestions? All right, well, I'm just going to speak up then. Which I'm going to do by asking you a question, Steve. About how many commercial jobs do you do a year right now?
Oh, let's say 10.
Okay, and out of, if you did 10 last year, how many did you come in late on?
Don't know. And, you know, just to be clear, though, these are kind of like the kind where there's some large commercial general contractor and they got their, you know, 14-page contract that they send you over, you know, to school or a hospital or something like that.
Okay.
How many were we late on? Well,
Potentially all of them, because really we didn't have any incentive to not be late, and so I don't know. I've never tracked it, and I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be something. That would be something to track then. And what the heck? Try it on a few jobs.
You know, there is some incentive to, you know, be on time with this stuff, but I think there's a lot of discretion on, you know, when you start a job, how diligent your work crew is. If given no outside incentive, we put a crew on a job and, you know, and they get started on it. We ask them, hey, when will you be done? Oh, yeah, it looks like maybe Thursday after next. Okay, thank you. And then we go on, and that's life. But really, we could take a lot more control of this. We could say, listen, you're going to start this job on, you know, the 20th, and you have to finish it by the 29th, and there's an extra $100 in it for you if you do. And if not, then, you know, we're going to, you know, maybe there's going to be some penalty to the install crew.
Yep.
I think there's a lot more that we could do. It'd probably make us a better company and a better contractor. Right now, it's kind of loose.
Yeah, you in order to do this, you can't be real loosey-goosey. I think the incentives are a great idea. I mean, those kinds of incentives are used everywhere in the construction industry. I think those are great ideas. I think ultimately it's going to be like you said, though. Steve, by the way, for those of you who are new to the club, is one of our original Pioneer members, and you'll actually hear him on some of the Rapid Launch calls. And one of the calls that we did was on the triple guarantee, particularly the replacement guarantee and the lifetime installation warranty. And what you'll hear on the Rapid Launch manuals, I think it's the second disc where we were getting so many questions about it that we just did an entire call. And Steve, talk about that. Your big concern was the lifetime installation warranty, and you were pretty scared about it. And then just before the call, you were telling me, you know, your thoughts now. Kind of fill us in a little.
Well, I was scared of it. There's some liability there, ongoing liability, and, you know, heck knows what's going to happen, as time elapses. So I was hesitant on that, and, I probably felt the same way about that as, you know, same hesitancy as I do about, you know, promising that we're going to finish the project on time or I'll pay him. But, you know, I've been doing it now for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and I don't think anything of it. In fact, I can't really imagine selling without that as one of our selling attributes. You know, it's just such an important point of differentiation. And once you've been doing that for years, you realize how valuable it is. Now, I'll also tell you that there's some expense associated with it.
Hey, Steve, I want you to talk about the expense. But
sure.
Before we do, what I want to do is I want to make sure we allow for other – I want to take a list of names because I want to make sure that we allow enough time so we can brainstorm some other USPs if there's anybody on the call. Is there anybody on the call who has – some ideas that they would like to explore for a unique selling proposition, who has something about their store that they, you know, that is, you know, a common area of, you know, frustration for clients, a fear that their clients has, a performance gap, any of those things? Does anybody on the call want to discuss that and speak now, because I'm going to write your name down and make sure that we leave enough time? I'm hearing crickets. Anybody, come on. All right, Steve, we're gonna just work on what we've been doing then. So you were talking about, I forget where you left off.
Well, I was just going to mention that, you know, the lifetime install warranty, that there is some expense involved in that. So if you just had a line item on your P&L and it said lifetime warranty liability expense, there would be a number there, and there wouldn't be a corresponding revenue line for that, because you couldn't really say, well, I got this job because I offered a lifetime install warranty, right?
Right.
So, if you're kind of close to your business, engaged with people, you know with certainty that you do get business, repeat and referral business, because of the way you run your business. You know, the fact that, you know, you're there to resolve issues when they arise, you know that you do have people call you. And you can also be sure that if you're kind of a horse's butt about, listen, you're past the warranty period, I'm not going to fix that, that you would not get repeat and referrals from those same clients. So I it's one of those things, you have to take a leap of faith in order to offer it. And then you have to watch the landscape of that over, you know, a number of years to see, you know, is this something that, you know, I would, that I continue to benefit from. And I can tell you, you know, with certainty, I feel stronger about it now than I ever did.
But it took that initial leap of faith. In fact, I remember you using that word a lot in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. It's one of those things, you know, am I opening myself up for a can of worms here?
Yeah. Yeah. Does, I think the same answer applies, Steve, to this guarantee. The, you know, we'll complete your job on time or we'll pay you. And you know, you can call that the on-time, the on-time project guarantee or the on-time delivery guarantee, something like that. And you may just have to take 60 or 90 days and just all the commercial jobs that you put into place in those 60 to 90 days, you know, the next, I don't know, however many bids on commercial jobs you would do, include that in there, and then charge a little bit more.
Could I've found some of these large commercial guys. There's one that we've done about three or four jobs in a row for, and the last couple, they've just flat out told us that, you know, what number they needed. In other words, they'd had success with us. They just wanted us to do the job for them. And I think that once you're in with some of these contractors, they're so risk averse on the completion that they don't want to take the chance with an unknown entity. And as long as you keep on performing for them, then you can probably, you know, be in a favorable position.
So
I think with the people you don't know, you know, you've never done a job for them before, those are the ones that you really have to have some compelling reason for them to pick you other than just the price you quoted.
Do you find that being the low price leader in the construction and the commercial side instills that confidence in them?
Well, I think that so there's different segments here. So if you just talk about the, you know, the large commercial project, I think that the price you quote is kind of blind. You just send a number, and if you're just one of, you know, six other suitors for the project, you know, it's possible they're just looking at the number. I think somehow you got to get past that. You know, maybe find the project manager and sell them on your guarantee, and then all of a sudden they give preference to your quote.
Exactly.
I've heard all kinds of stuff. I've heard you know somebody loses a large contract on account of a quarter of a percent. I don't really know if that stuff happens. Sometimes you just hear sour grapes, but somehow you got to change the game if you don't want to just play the game of whoever's got the lowest price win.
I gotta believe that even on the commercial end of it, that there are other concerns other than price. I mean, like Larry Steinmetz says in his book, How to Sell at Higher Prices Higher Than Your Competitors, did an interview with him a while back, and he talks about that nobody really buys on price. And he talked about how to go in to a bid situation on a government job where they have to take the lowest price. And he says even in that case, they're really not going on lowest price. And he makes some obvious examples. For instance, if you went in and installed flooring that literally fell apart in a week versus somebody else who installs flooring that lasts the way it should, but the guy with the carpet that falls apart in a week, he has the lowest price. Is he really buying on price? And the answer is no. Or what if the specs call for, some sort of, say a blue carpet or some sort of design, something nice looking, and somebody says, yeah, but I'll do it cheaper, but it's going to be bright pink with big black polka dots. No, he's not going to go with that, even if you're cheaper, because in reality, price is not the ultimate decider, even when they say it is. And I think what you've done is made a really good point of changing the game. All these contractors are just looking at numbers, and all the floor dealers, flooring contractors, are going in and playing the numbers game with them. So they're really giving them nothing else to look at. So I would be really curious to see, Steve, you take this and roll it out for a period of time and just test it. Build in your safeguards, like you said, and take that leap of faith. I think it could very well make a big difference.
Well, there's lots of blind quotes that you make, and they don't know us from anybody else until we've done a job for them. And the only way you get the first job with them is if you have the lowest price. It's hard to have the lowest price.
Yeah. That's not somewhere you want to go. And, you could have across the top of your quote that you send in to them, you are protected by our on-time delivery guarantee. We'll complete your project on time or we pay you. And then underline the word you. And I think that'd be right at the top, this first thing they see. And guarantee that nobody else is going to send in a quote with something like that.
A safe bet.
Yeah. All right. Well, we didn't have it. Steve, do you have any other areas, USP areas, that you want to look at today before we wrap it up?
Well, another market that is tough to get, break into where you're not, already there is the property management segment.
Okay.
Apartments, rental homes, convalescent homes, places where they have, kind of a fairly high turnover of residents, and thus flooring as well.
Okay.
And a lot of times people are making decisions based on whoever's been doing the work for them in the past, and it's tough to get in. You know, it's just, you can keep on calling on them, but again, you know, it's a business-to-business sale, and they tend to want, you know, whoever's going to give them the lowest price. That's kind of where that's the way you can get in, unless the other supplier quits, dies, or, you know, goes out of business. It's tough to get in unless you offer up a really low price. So that would be an area where it might be logical to experiment with some of the attribute sources of pain and see if we couldn't come up with a USP for that thing.
Well, let's talk about it for a minute. It may be that there is some. Maybe there isn't. Maybe that is the only thing. But let's walk through a few of the steps then. Do you work with property management companies much at all at this point?
Yeah, we have some accounts. I'd like to have more.
Okay. What is their biggest fear? Other than high price.
Well, they do need quick turnarounds. Sometimes, they'll get a move out. Maybe it's, towards the end of the month, and they got a new resident coming in, shortly thereafter.
Okay.
So they do operate on some, pretty tight turnarounds.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else that they're afraid of that causes fear or anxiety for the owner of a property management business?
Well, cost is a real thing because this is a an expense line for them.
Okay.
It's different than the commercial construction or new custom home or remodel construction, because in those instances, the contractor gets a quote from the subcontractors, typically tax on their 10 or 15% management, expense, and then that's what the end client pays.
Okay.
The builders and contractors won't admit it, but heck, they just assume our prices were higher. They get to, make a higher margin on a higher price subcontractor expense. But with a property management situation, there's no benefit to anybody other than we got a new floor. And I can't get the new tenant unless I got a new floor.
Mm.
So it's just an expense. And if it's, $1,400 instead of $1,300, then that's, just extra expense.
What kind of margin do you typically make on your property management?
Gross margin, our lowest is about, I'm going to say maybe 28, 29, okay. I think is our lowest. And we got some that are maybe more like 35, 38.
Well, that's pretty good for somebody that's that cost conscious. You're doing real good there.
On the low side or the high side?
Both. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, I talk to floor dealers who are doing commercial stuff. They're down in the low 20s, which I think is too low. But, the fact that you're going between 28 and 36% in the situation you're describing, that sounds pretty good. Okay, let's get back to cost. I'm kind of chewing on some ideas of a way you could offer some cost protection, but without whoring yourself. So let's get back to that in a minute. What are some performance gaps in that particular niche, that particular industry, either within your company or within the industry at large?
Okay, so since it tends to be the lowest price segment, the people that are selling at the lowest price tend to have not the highest caliber installation technicians on that segment.
Of course.
So usually the flooring company is going to pay a little lower rate for that segment, and the guys that they put on that segment are tending to be the lower paid, and those are usually the tend to be a little bit lower caliber.
Okay. So poor workmanship.
It's poorer, let's say that. You know, it might still be acceptable, but it is kind of poorer.
Okay.
And we have a burned business position because, you know, the incumbents, you know, did a poor job with, you know, their installers did a poor job in some way.
Got ya. Okay. Well, I'm going to skip a couple of these for time's sake, but let's, on step number five, what is annoying to property management companies who are looking for services? What's annoying to them? What drives them nuts?
Late completing the project, don't clean up properly after you finish the job.
Okay.
Poor quality, something didn't get done, you know, the way it was supposed to.
Okay.
Those are the things I could think of.
All right. What are some ways you could stand out from the competitors? Either that you do stand out or could stand out.
Well, I've thought about, some sort of a guarantee. We guarantee that, you know, have your new floor installed within, you know, 3 days of when you call us, or dot, 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 whatever the or is.
Okay.
Sometimes they get a move-out notice, and they want to get the thing turned around really fast. That requires you to have the materials in stock and, you know, have technicians that are available to do the work.
Okay. Once you're on, let's say you're with a property management. Let's say you've got, I don't know, a big apartment complex, and you land the account. Is it the kind of situation where they'll tell you, okay, we want this kind of carpet installed every time, and then you're able to just go buy the roll, buy several rolls of it, and just keep it around?
Yeah, that's kind of what you do.
All right. It seems to me that if you're let's say you've got an 800-square-foot apartment. What does it cost you out-of-pocket to put in typical flooring in there for the installation and for the carpet itself, the materials? What are you out-of-pocket?
You include the installation. You mean you've already done the work?
Yeah. I'm talking about just your gross cost. You know, your cost of goods sold. What is the cost of the flooring and, the typical quality flooring you'd put in like an 800-square-foot apartment and the labor? What are you going to pull out of your pocket?
Let's say about $1,200. That's $1.50 a foot.
All right.
Plus or minus.
Okay. I'm thinking of a couple of things. You said make a list. Make a list of everything that drives people nuts in that target industry. Late completion, no cleanup, and poor quality. There's a triple guarantee right there. Okay, put it at the top of your quotes when you're trying to land a new account. You are protected by our hassle-free triple guarantee. We guarantee it'll be done on time, and then define what on time means. We guarantee we will leave it cleaned up and ready to move in, because that's what they want, right?
Yeah.
And that the quality will be there. And then you can have the or, you know, whatever the penalty is if you're not. Seems to me you could take those three things and make a pretty compelling case.
Where were you going with the, you asked me about what the cost of the project was.
I'm not sure, but is there a way you could, for instance, that's why I asked you how much it cost you to do one. if you had someone who was serious about hiring you, could you go in and do three rooms for free and show them your work? Is there something, or do the installation for, we'll install it free. You just pay for the materials, something like that. It's a one-time only deal. I used to do this in the carpet cleaning business. We used to give away a free room of carpet cleaning, and we did it to very targeted neighborhoods. We did not just blanket the town with, you know, run a newspaper ad, get a free room of carpet cleaning, because we'd have spent the next year doing free carpet cleaning. It was very, very targeted. And what we would do is, it was a two-step process. Target the neighborhood, send out all the, you know, the letters offering this free room. Plus, we had our guarantees in there. Plus, I said something like, you know, it won't surprise you to learn that we hope you'll ask us to clean the rest of your house, so with your permission, we'll give you a written quote. You know, in other words, we were upfront about, look, we're trying to win you as a client, but we understand that there's a lot of lousy carpet cleaners out there, so we want to give you a free sample. And this is for people who are truly serious about, you know, keeping their home looking great. I mean, the whole letter really spelled out why we're doing it. Seems to me you might be able to do something like that for property management as a way to get your foot in the door, give something away for free, some sort of free sample that they can look at. It's different than what the other people are going to offer. And what we used to do was we went and we did a thing called a carpet audit. And it was very similar to the design audit. We've talked about this. We'd go in, I'd wear the shoe covers, I would do the whole dog and pony show, go through the whole house, measure everything. That was before we scheduled the cleaning, as we would first do the carpet audit. And so I'd go in, do the full carpet audit, measure all the rooms, just like I talk about doing with the design audit, same thing. And then I would say, okay, I've given you a quote. Here's the quote for the whole house. And here we're going to minus this free room. You know what? And 9 out of 10 times, they wanted way more than just the one free room because of the way we did it. And I'm wondering if you couldn't go in and say, yeah, we'll give you a free room, but first what we're going to do is a design audit. And you go in and you have one for the property management. You say, okay, what kind of, what style of carpet do you want put in? What kind of vinyl do you put in?
One of them webinar things.
All the particulars, talk to them about, ask them, okay, what did you like best about the people that you currently use for your flooring? What do you like least about them? How could we exceed your expectations? Again, I'm just spitballing here, Steve, but it seems to me you could go in and make an offer like that with those guarantees, do something for free, show them the work, and perhaps land an account that way.
Can you get them sent over to Jeff?
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Remember, we talked about the design audit process. I think we play the game, 20 questions. You remember that term that I used here? We go through that, and it's kind of the same process that you'd go through to identify the need and the current orientation of the prospect. What are the things they like? What are the things they don't like? And where are the chinks in the armor of the current supplier? It kind of leads you to how you present your offering to them, and that would be good. I'm not scared off by hey, I'll do a unit for you. I don't know about for free, but maybe for half price. How much are you paying your current supplier? I'll do a unit for you for half that price, just so you can see what we're like. So it does a couple of things. One, it does give you the opportunity to show them that you're credible and that you can do a good job for them. Secondly, it gets them to hand you the competitor's quote so you can see exactly what they're charging and how much. And third, kind of like offering water to clients when they come in your store, then they kind of feel like, well, I kind of owe you back something in return.
Yep.
And so maybe if you did one for, you know, half price, they know they saved some money, maybe they'd be willing to give you another one at, you know, the regular price. So could be a way to, you know, kind of make something happen.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you're going to spend, I mean, you're talking $1,200, you know, cost if you recoup half. Let's say it costs you $600 out of pocket. I'm just throwing it out there. You're going to spend, you could spend easily 10 times that trying to market to those people.
Right.
You know, so that's a really, to me, $600 is an inexpensive way to get your foot in the door. And then you're using several USPs, the hassle-free triple guarantee of, you know, addressing late completion, no cleanup, and poor quality. You're doing the design audit. Okay, that's a USP. We're going to come in and, you know, ask them the questions. You know, all, you know, we want to be your flooring installer for life. You know, you're just right up front about it. We really want to provide you with great service and help end the headaches and hassles that you're facing as a property management owner trying to hire flooring companies. We know, we understand, you know, you got the move-ins and everything. And then finally, you're giving them a really good special deal, you know, a new client special, just to try our service, the free sample, so to speak. So I think you've really got something there with a little bit of work, Steve. I think you could really set yourself apart.
I like it.
Tell you what, if you develop that, begin developing it, send it to me. Send whatever letters you come up with, whatever tweaks on the design audit you come up with. I'll look it over and add my two cents and help you with it. So.
Okay, I'll do it. I got a guy that I've hired that kind of half of his job is to just chase after property management, and he'll have opportunity to submit, you know, these to multiple locations, they'll get some quick feedback.
Yep, and you can, you know, do model it on the dollar bill letter where you're putting, you know, or a lumpy mailer of some kind, a headache letter, any of those things that you know everyone knows and loves. Send it to them. Shoot, send it to them in a trash can or wrapped to a basketball. But at any rate, I really think you could start scooping up a lot of the property management jobs doing that.
All right, I'll send you some feedback on that.
Sounds great. Okay, we're past the hour. Everybody, thank you for being on the call today. Steve, thank you for coming on and sharing and letting me be in my guinea pig for the last hour. Appreciate all your feedback.
Sure.
Okay, everyone, stay tuned for announcements coming up for March. We've got some exciting things happening. And until next time, happy marketing.